turning up, turning back, giving up. And so look here what it says here in Hebrews 10 and verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. That word right there, that's what I'm going to preach about tonight. Confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. You see that word recompense? What does that look like? Compensate, or payback. Recompensate, recompense. Your money, penny, pence, pay you back. Great recompense. You get paid back if you'll stay right with God. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Hold your finger there, just say it. I've heard people say, well, if the Lord tarries, he's coming. And that sounds good, but you know the Bible says he will not tarry. He's done got the date marked, brother, and he's coming on that day. He ain't going to back it up. He ain't going to change it up. He ain't going to put it off a day. He ain't going to speed it up a day. Will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, I want you to think with me just for a minute this evening. And I want to preach this evening on the subject, have we lost confidence? Have we lost confidence? The Bible said for us not to cast away our confidence. He would have never said that tonight if there wasn't some possibility that a person can, you know, the devil will hit you this way and hit you this way and hit you this way and hit you this way. And you're like, good night, I'm trying to live right. And your husband goes crazy, or your wife goes crazy, or maybe they've always been crazy and they get worse, or maybe you lose your job, or maybe you get sick. Or maybe something terrible happens, and you start thinking, good night. And if you're not real careful during those times like that, you can lose confidence. Marriage trouble and financial trouble and physical trouble, when you're in all this relationship stuff people talk about, the devil really hits you when you're going through something like that. When your life's not settled and you're sort of by yourself a lot, or maybe you're divorced or widowed or something like that, and the devil, boy, he can work on you. I mean, he'll jump on you when you're sitting at home and tell you all kinds of crazy things and put bad thoughts in your head. So tonight, I want us to ask you a few questions tonight, and that is, have you lost confidence? The devil's tool and the devil's job is to make you doubt your beliefs. Are you listening? The devil's job is to make us doubt our beliefs. There's an old preacher from Marion years ago, very old. He never did have a very big church, only 35, 40 people in his church. And he used to say all the time, he said, believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. That's some pretty good advice. Most of the time we doubt our beliefs and believe our doubts. But he said, doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. That's good advice. So I want to say just three things tonight. And I want to say, first of all, have we lost confidence in the ministry? Have we lost confidence in the ministry? Well, the answer to that is, on a worldwide basis, absolutely. Confidence in the ministry tonight is at an all-time low worldwide. I mean, Lord have mercy, people. They have no respect for preachers, no respect for pastors, no respect for missionaries, no respect for anybody, any preacher. I mean, preachers are the laughing stock of the world. Now, there's a reason for that tonight. One reason is preachers themselves. A lot of it's our fault. Sometimes we preachers bring it on our own self. Isn't that right? Might as well tell the truth tonight. A lot of the preachers behave and act in such a way that causes some people to lose confidence in the ministry. And that's a shame. And it's a disgrace before God. But it is true. We might as well just tell the truth tonight. Sometimes preachers live in such a way that causes people not to have confidence in the ministry. But I will say also tonight, it's the people's fault. It's people's fault. It's people's fault for losing confidence in the ministry because they sometimes put preachers on too high of a pedestal. And if you put a preacher too high on a pedestal, I don't care who he is, sooner or later, he's going to disappoint you. Are you listening to me? I don't anybody but Jesus. Anybody but Jesus. You check out any preacher in the Bible, you check out, I know a lot of people, they don't want to live by faith, so they find them a preacher and they think, as long as I've got him, as long as I got him, well, he might die. I mean, the Lord might call him off somewhere. And then, but you better have something more than just confidence in a preacher. I'm going to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I still believe in the ministry. I believe God's got thousands of men standing and doing right. I believe there's thousands, tens of thousands that live right, pay their bills, treat their family right, serve God every day. I didn't say they're perfect. I didn't say they couldn't mess up. I said they love God and serve God and live right. And brother, I've not lost. I know people say, turn on that preacher. I don't believe in them TV preachers. I don't believe in them radio preachers. I don't, all them, every one of them's out for money. Well, you're deceived. The devil's caused you to lose confidence. There's a lot of preachers that ain't preaching for money. There's a lot of preachers that ain't doing it just to drag them. I'm telling you, look, if I want to preach for money, you know what I'd do? I'd change about 3/4 of what I preach. I'd leave off a bunch of it, and then I'd get me a big ministry, give me some flashy stuff and start healing people or something. You can get a lot of money like that. But I'm telling you, the way we believe it, that ain't the way to get into the money. I'm telling you, but that ain't why I preach. I don't preach for money. You didn't hire me, and you can't fire me. I was preaching a long time before there was a shining light, and I may wind up on the street corner at Walmart before it's over with. But if I have to, I have to. God called man to preach, and we shouldn't lose confidence in the ministry. Listen, if you're not careful, the devil will put a little bit of doubt in your mind. Come on, let's get real, okay? Nod your little head. The devil, if he can get one little doubt. There's a preacher in Marion, I believe he loved the Lord. Lord have mercy. That guy, he shouted all the time and everything. And he is in a grocery store, and he, you know how in a grocery store, I know men do this, I don't know about ladies, but I know I do it. You're in a grocery store and you think, I don't need a buggy, I'm only going to get a couple things. I don't even need one of them little things you hold like a basket. I'm just going to get a couple things. And you get this, you know, and then you get shaving cream. And then you go, I start sticking it in my pockets. I ain't planning on stealing it. Really, really. I mean, how many's ever done that? I ain't planning on stealing it. And I have walked out the door before at Walmart and felt something in here, and it's old underarm deodorant. And I went back in there and laid it down and said, I didn't steal this. Actually, I guess I did, but I didn't mean to. And I'm going to pay for it right now. And there's a preacher up there in Marion. He walked out the door, and the buzzer went off, and they got him shoplifting. And it was in the paper and everything. I felt so sorry for him. He is an older preacher, and he said he forgot, and I believe him. I believe him. I mean, why would you want to steal something that costs $2 and risk going to jail? And he said he didn't mean to, and people, they caught that preacher stealing. They caught. You better be real careful. You better be real careful. Some of y'all steal every Sunday, and I still like you. Amen? I mean, I'd give you the benefit of a doubt. There ain't no way in the world everybody in here is paying their tithes. If they are, we got some low-income people in here. I'm telling you, there's no way. So some of you got to be stealing it. And I love you. I still got confidence in you. I'm just praying you'll get right. I mean, you can't just cause a preacher ain't perfect. Well, I'll tell you one thing. He's a preacher. And people think a preacher ought to be perfect. We know preachers ain't made out of nothing different you're made out of. We got the same flesh. We have the same doubts. We have the same fears. We have the same temptations. The devil hits us just like he hits you. He hits our family just like he hits yours. He hits our body just like he hits yours, sometimes even worse. Don't lose confidence in the ministry. Listen, when a man's living right and serving God, I got confidence in him. Now, if he ain't, I ain't, because nobody can live right in the flesh. People put preachers on too high of a pedestal, especially around this part of the country. People say, well, he's a preacher, and I never thought that a preacher would do it. One lady, she told me one time years ago, they started coming to our church. She had a couple of kids, and I was supposed to go over to their house to eat after church. They had me over to eat. I went over to the house, and she had a little kid, and I walked in and said, I said, how you doing? And he went like this, like that. She said, he's scared to death of you. I said, why is he scared of me? I never done nothing to him. She said, he's scared to death of you. She said, he... And then I got thinking, I thought, well, you know what? The only time that kid's ever seen me, the only time he's ever seen me, is when I'm doing what I'm doing right now. He thinks that's all we do. He thought I was going to walk into the house and say, hey, boy, you need to get right with God. Clean our room. That's what he thought. I have had bukus of people at camp and everything say, ooh, Brother Danny, I've never seen you in blue jeans. Do you honestly think I wear a suit and mow my grass in? I wear my wife beater shirt. Hey, that's on radio. Listen, I tell you something, brother. We're made out the same stuff y'all are. When you look sort of stupid out in a suit, I mean, you know, cutting weeds and you're with a weed eater. I mean, really, that's retarded looking people. I'm telling you tonight, you hear me this evening, we're the same thing you are. I got confidence in preachers all over this country tonight. There's preachers all over this country. I disagree with them on some things. I don't think they ought to do some things they do. But I'll tell you one thing, if they're preaching that book and they're serving God and they're trying to live right, son, I'm behind them. I'm praying for them. Glory to God. Let the church roll on. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we dare not lose confidence in the ministry. One day I was out walking one night. This guy, he said, look! And there was a falling star. And you know, and it was like, thing goes zoom. And everybody goes, oh my goodness, I'm going to fall star. I'm going to fall star. And nobody pays any attention to 10 million of them still up there shining. That's the way preachers are. Every time one of them says, yeah, see that? Did you see that? Yeah, I did. Did you see that? Did you see all them millions that still preaching? Did you see all them that didn't quit? Did you see all them that ain't give up? Did you see all them that overcome their problem and kept going for God and finished the race and stuck with the book and stayed with the stuff? Let's don't lose confidence in the ministry, people. Listen, God calls some of these young men to preach in here. You listen to him. Listen, he's 7 years old. And God's called him to preach, and he's standing up there. I'm going to respect him, and he's going to get my attention, and I'm going to say, God's in the ministry. The Lord's in the ministry. Some of them kings in the Bible, 7, 8 years old. Amen. A woman told me one time, she said, when my girl's here, one of them's the only one here tonight, and the other two still ain't back from Nashville yet. Busted a windshield or something. They said something happened. But anyway, when they was little, I said, this woman said, this little one, her little kid said, Mama, there's God. She said, she thinks you're God. I said, oh boy, is that kid ever in for a big shock. And and she said, one day my girls come in and she said, Mama, I saw God's kids. I said, you're even in for a bigger shock. I'm telling you, that's the way people. Sometimes, be careful that you don't get an overestimate other men. You say, boy, if I just love so-and-so, I'd just love to go to his church. If I could just hear you. Yeah, I tell you, that old boy's got the same faults I've got, and others got, and others got, and others got, and the others got, and the others got. We're supposed to listen to the preacher and honor God's man, but look to the Lord for our help, and look to the Lord for our satisfaction, and look to the Lord to feed your soul, and look to the Lord to feed you and keep you right. There ain't no preacher going to keep you right with God. It's impossible. Can't keep myself right. I have to trust the Lord. You're right. I got favorite preachers that I listen to. I listen to preaching every week. I've got it loaded up out there in my car on MP3s. And on them MP3s, buddy, there's 30 and 35 sermons on one of them. Now I got a thing out there that thick of them that my buddy over in Tennessee sent me. But I got enough preaching to listen to from here to Florida. If Brother Wayne and Kelly ain't going to get right, listen to that all night long, there ain't no hope for it. We got preaching that listen all the way down there and enough to listen to all the way back. I mean, I love to hear them harder the better, brother. I like somebody to just get up and rip and snort and stick of that old King James Bible and tell it like it is, brother. I have some of them old men, some of them I never even heard.
hurt, and he's been sending me messages. But I ain't stupid. I know them men got their problems. I know they got their faults. I know they got their. They might have a bad temper, or they might have doubts once in a while. They might be vain. They might like money a little too much, or they might like they're a little stuck on themselves. Or they got something. Noel Ruckman says every dog got just enough fleas to remind him he's still a dog. I don't care how highfalutin a person is, they got fleas somewhere. You better believe it. Have we lost confidence in the ministry? Amen? That's right. People make crazy stuff happen. I told you about the down there in Forest City. It was in the paper, Forest City, years ago. It's hard to believe. That's what they said. I think it was. There was 18. You help me. I don't even know what you can't say nothing nowadays without you're being politically correct or you're saying you're better than somebody or whatever. There's people from Mexico. What do you call them nowadays? Spanish? Right? They say you're hurting their feelings if you say, Lord, I don't know. You can call me redneck, hick, whatever you want to. I don't care. I ain't going to start crying. But anyway, they were Spanish people. And there was a bunch of them in a Grand Am. Remember the Pontiac Grand Am? And there was something like 18 of them in there. Mamaw, papaw, little boys, little girls, grandkids, squee, trunk. 18 Spanish people in a Grand Am. Going to a camp meeting. And they was naked. That's what it said. They was naked, and they said that God told them their clothes had demons in them, so they took their clothes off to get rid of them demons. Throw them off. They got demons in them. No. You got it backwards. You put your clothes on to get rid of the demons. You take your clothes off. That's how you get demons. Well, anyway, they said their clothes had demons in them, and they took all the clothes off. Now I know that's a terrible picture in your head. Grandma, Papa, 18 naked Mexicans in a Grand Am. That's awful. And they wrecked and is going to a camp meeting, some Holy Ghost camp meeting, and run in a ditch. And they got out and said, God told us to do that. Now stuff like that right there is what makes people lose confidence. You know my favorite story about that. I can't tell it without thinking about it. With the two old, I can just imagine Papaw, Mamaw, Johnny, little, well, they Johnny, Julio. That's what we call them on bus route, ain't it, y'all? That's what my girls back there call them on bus route. Anyway, they had these two old men like that sitting out on the front porch of a rest home, and there's a rocking like this right here. They're about 80 years old. Back when streaking, remember when streaking was real popular? Everybody was streaking years ago? Well, there's two old sisters about 80 years old, decided they was going to streak. And they took all the clothes off and just took off a running. They hadn't run much. And they was running across that front yard. And one of them looked at it and he said, what in the world was that, Harry? He said, I don't know, but it sure needed ironing. That's where I picture them 18 Spanish people in a Grand Am. And I thought about that. I thought, oh my goodness, isn't that all? And that's when people think about Christians, that's what they think about. When people think about Christians, they think about David Koresh and them crazy people out there in California that said God told them to do it. There's a guy down there in Forest City, come down the street, 55 miles an hour, and he was driving a car, and he went bang, hit a car, bang, hit another car. Bang, hit about four or five cars, footnote like that. And he got out, and a big crowd of people gathered around him. And he went around shaking everybody's hands, saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And he said, God told him to go flying down the street and hit all them cars. That's what makes people not have confidence in Christians. They think, see, there you're crazy. The Bible, that's what makes, you ever heard anybody say the Bible will make you go crazy if you read it? That's not true. The Bible will not make you go crazy. Now, you might already be crazy, and right, it might help you. Or you might be sinning. You're sinning and reading it, and that'll make you go crazy. But the Word of God, it'll make you think right. It'll make you think straight. And the Bible tells you, it'll give you a sound mind. the smartest people in the world believe the Bible. The most balanced, fair way of looking at people in the world, philosophy, everywhere, are people that believe this book. The Bible won't make you crazy. Going against it will. And we lost confidence in the ministry. Lordy mercy, I didn't plan on getting off on all that. And I'll say secondly tonight, have we lost confidence in giving? Have we lost confidence in giving? I mentioned that a minute ago. I'm telling you something, brother, here again. The blame lies on both sides. The blame lies on churches, and the blame lies on people. There's been a lot of churches misuse God's money. There's been missionaries misuse God's money. There's been preachers. You remember all them scandals back in the day with Jim Baker and all that stuff like that? I ain't got no rocks to throw at nobody. But scandals, when they come out like that, it makes people think, yeah, see there? Bunch of crooks. I ain't giving them no money. Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe, and I believe the Bible teaches. Listen, I'm going to give my money to God's church because God told me to. And I'm going to obey God, and I'm going to give money to support missionaries. We got missionaries in the Philippines tonight. We've supported missionaries all over the world, different places. We've got missionaries all over the country tonight doing stuff. Do I know right now they're doing right? No, I don't. But by faith, I put my money in that plate, and my heart's right, and my heart's clean. If they misuse it, they'll answer to God for it. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I heard about a missionary who's a crook, so I'm going to keep my money. That's just an excuse, so you won't have to give nothing, you tightwad. We've lost confidence in giving. We need to make up our mind. We're going to start giving like we're supposed to. Give, and it shall be given to you. 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 They told me when I first got saved, they said, Brother Danny, you give 10% of everything you make. I've been doing it ever since. God's honored it. God's blessed it. I'm telling you, you give like you're supposed to, God will honor that. If a dollar of it gets misused, whoever misused it will answer to God for it. I'll tell you, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I ain't perfect. I ain't the best preacher in the world. But I can promise you one thing. In my heart, I have never, to my knowing, took one penny that belonged to this church and used it for myself if it wasn't church authorized. And I can say that with a clear conscience tonight. I'm telling you tonight, I ain't perfect. I don't claim we always make the right choices. We've made some boo-boos. We've wasted money on stuff. We've bought buses that wasn't worth a dime. We've made some mistakes. But I'll tell you one thing. We are trying to do right with our finances here at this church. I ain't fussing. I thank the Lord takes care of me. Lord takes care of me. I ain't fussing. I tell you what, I make personal sacrifices. Give more than I give a lot more than what my tithes are. And I make sacrifices. And the church voted years and years ago to do certain things to me, certain things to me. And I quit taking it because I want to be a blessing to the church. I believe in giving to the church. And I believe God will honor that. I believe it. I believe it, brother. I believe it. Don't feel sorry for me. I believe it. I believe it. You be good. I'm not saying this because I'm a preacher. You may be I'm Mr. Bentley here. He goes to another church. We got visitors here from other churches tonight. You honor God's man. You take care of that preacher and the ministry. And you watch God bless your life. It's all the way through the Bible. Have we lost confidence in giving? You know, I know how it is. I know how it is. If you wear nice clothes, you got too much money. If you don't, they're ashamed of you. Got a nice car, preacher's vain. If you don't, people say, it looks like he'd pray God would give him a decent car. Ain't that the way it goes? Amen. I know. But see, I know how to dress like somebody's got a lot of money without a lot of money. I go to Dead Man's Store. I go to Berlin and Coke Factory. I pay $6 for a tie instead of $30 like they are at the mall. Really, I ain't got. I'm just smarter than most people in that area. Amen. Get a little lesson there. Don't go to the mall to buy your clothes. Are you crazy? Once in a blue moon, they might have a half and get it down where it needs to be. But look, it don't take a genius to figure this out. When I go in the mall, I ain't just paying for this blue shirt. I'm paying for that water squirting up. And I'm paying for that security guard. And I'm paying for all that glass. You're paying for all that stuff. Go to the little places where all you're paying for is the shirt. Amen. Get seconds, brother. Thirds. I'll have a big place right there. Well, ain't nobody gonna see that. Like if it's got a something right there that ain't right or something like that. Big deal, brother. I mean, listen. Honor God. Do right with your finances. Have we lost confidence in our giving? I told you this story before, but we got a lot of new people here. I was preaching down in Spartanburg, South Carolina, Spartanburg. One night youth service. I'll tell you something happened. About a week before that, I come in one day, and I was checking my mail. This has been about 5 years ago, and I was checking my mail. See, after when Krista moved out, I lived by myself all them years, and I remember I come in one day and I check my mail. Lord, I keep it 100 degrees downstairs. Ain't no use running air conditioning. You know, when you're only in one room, I'd go in there and sweat, fixing something to eat, and take it in the bedroom where the air conditioning's running, and I'd try to keep running up the bill. And I had mail, and I got this mail, and I opened it up. I said, "That's my insurance company." And I come that close to throwing it away. I started just throwing trash can. I thought, I better not do that, because I knew my insurance wasn't due. It wasn't time. I thought, they're just giving me some kind of update or something. I opened it. And lo and behold, I pulled it out. Somehow they give me a refund or something, and it was a check for $106. $106! Danny Castle. I said, "Woo! $106, glory to God!" And I'm telling you, just like that. It was when we was in the old building, and we was just buying this place, and we was trying to raise money for this place. So I guess you was still home. She was still home. And I'd been fussing at everybody to give. And I pulled that check out, and I said, "Glory to God, I got $106. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Now you ought to just give that to the church." Don't you hate it when that happens? How many of you know that? You know good and well, he tells you, and you don't want to do it, do you? That first voice is always the Lord. And then here come 50 reasons why I shouldn't and couldn't. And I needed it here, and I needed it there. And it said, "Now you've been telling people to give extra. Get up there and run your mouth now. Look at what it's done. You're telling people to give extra. Now," and I said, "That's $106. I mean, if it was like 10 or 20, I could do it." And the Lord said, "Now, if you'd have thrown it away, you'd have never even known you had it." I said, "You're right. You're right, Lord." And I wrestled. You know that wrestling feeling? How many of you ever had you felt like, you know, when you're back and forth? Finally, I said, "All right, Lord, I have been fussing at people to give. I'll do it." So I folded that $106 up and put it in my wallet where I keep my tithes. I keep my tithes down in a little corner of my wallet. When it's Sunday morning, I throw it in the offering plate. And I put that in there, and I remember, and I forgot all about it. Sunday morning come, week three of August, I said, now everybody give, just like I do now. Everybody gives. And I pulled out and said, "Glory to God." And I threw that in the offering plate. Hallelujah. Didn't think nothing else about it. That was like Sunday. We went all that week. Went all the next week. I went down there to that church in South Carolina and preached a youth service. One night. They wasn't as many people as they was in this one section right here. I don't know. They might have been 40 or 50 people there that night. Maybe. Well, not near as many as they are in this section here. This section right here that's, I guess, living right now. This section in here, getting more people. This section here was real full, and some of them backslid. But anyway, I went down there and preached that night, and the preacher got up, and he gave his usual preacher spiel. He said, "Now, folks, gas is high." You know, we always say, "That young man drove a long way down here, all the way from North Carolina. Let's help him out. I'm going to pass off in plates." And I figured it'd probably be, I don't know, if you know how everybody, they're all a bunch of ones. They give you a big old wad of money. Don't get your hopes up. It's all one. It's $35. And it's all rolled up like that right there. One, they said if it wasn't for $1 bills, I mean, if it wasn't for church, they'd take $1 bills out of circulation. Can't buy nothing with them. That's the only place they're in good, church. Ain't that right? You know that story said the $20 bills, honey. He said, "Man, I go to the finest restaurants in Los Angeles and California, and they lay me down for tips." and $100 bill says, man, I go to the casinos in Las Vegas, and they play me in the big games, and they pay big money over here, there, I go everywhere. And the $10 bill said, well, I go on fishing trips, and I get around too. And they looked at the $1 bill, and he said, the only place I ever go is church. But anyway, they got up there and they took that offering up. And the preacher said, here you go, Brother Danny. Here's your little money for your trip. And I just grabbed it and stuck it in my pocket. Headed up the road. And I stopped to get something to eat at McDonald's or something, or stopped to get me a sandwich. And I reached in there and said, I'll just peel off a few of them $1 bills. And it was like $35 of all about $1 bills. And inside them $35 was a check. And the check was wrote out from their church, Manna Baptist Church in Spartanburg. It said to Reverend Danny Castle, love offering, $106. I'm telling you that with my hand up. $106. What are the chances? What do you tell me? What's the odds of somebody writing you a check for $106? And as soon as I seen it, cold chills went down me. And the Lord said, there's your $106 back. I said, and 35 to boot, brother, to buy me a hamburger. And I put the 35 and said, thank you, Lord. I'm sorry for arguing with you that day. And I cashed a fool out of that. I spent that. I enjoyed that. Lord, let me have that 106. The church got 106. I got 106. I got a blessing. You got a blessing. You know why? Because, brother, I lost confidence in giving. You give, God will give to you. One man said one time, he said, I gave and I still had a flat tire. Well, you might have had a wreck and got killed. You hadn't. Could have been worse. Have we lost confidence in giving? I'll say this and I'm through. I'm just going to cut this short. Have we lost confidence in God's promises? The promise of His coming. The promise of heaven. It said it has great recompense of reward. Who put this water up here tonight? Did you do that, Miss Desi? You know what the Bible says? We've lost confidence in a lot of that stuff. Bible says, same Bible says, John 3:16. It said, if you give a cup of cold water to a disciple, you will not lose your reward. Don't let old Goldfingers over there fool you. She's rich. Anybody's got gold in their fingers? I just call her that. She comes in here all plain, that little car. Yeah, whatever. She's a smart businesswoman. There's no telling what God's got laid up for her for bringing that water up here for somebody preaching. Oh, preacher, that's silly. You lost confidence in God's promises. Let me tell you something, brother. We'd be fighting again. Somebody come up here to get saved, we'd be pushing each other out of the way. See who gets to lead them to the Lord if we really believe what that book says about God's promises. Have we lost confidence? You know what you can do? You can go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, to where you just get so dull it ain't even real to you no more. You can do that. I've done it. We all have. You know what you got to do? You just got to get down and take a file and sharpen up your blade and put it on axe on a wet rock or whatever you got to do and say, Lord, sharpen me back up. We are still going to heaven. We are going to walk on gold streets one day. It's really going to happen. Old bunch of no-count sinners like us, walk on gold streets. Hallelujah! Glory to God! His promises are still true, people. Woo! Thank God. You remember that night it was real to you and you about blew up, you so happy and shouted? Well, I'm telling you, brother, it's still that real tonight. Just because you can't feel it, don't change it one bit at all. God's heaven's still real. Hell's still real. The Bible's still true. The rapture's still going to come. Jesus is going to split the sky one day. He's calling us out of here, brother. Hallelujah, brother. His promises are still true. And we lost confidence in His promises. I'm going to ask you a question tonight while she comes. And let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Have we lost confidence? Somehow or another, the devil work on you and work on you and work on you. She's playing softly.